This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly meeting, April 26th, 7 p.m.
So the time is 7:11, and I'm calling the April 26th special Student Assembly meeting to order. Can the clerk please call the roll?
Agard.
Hello.
Andrews.
Here.
Bajaj.
Here.
Block.
Unexcused. Yeah.
Brockman. Danzer.
Yep.
Desai.
Here.
Fang.
He is late. He's a half.
Finn.
Here.
Gorjani.
Here.
Oh, wait. Gitlin. Sorry.
Here.
Jenkins. K. K.
She's
Kerr.
Here.
Mensa.
Here.
Moon. Nicoletti.
He's a half.
Prue.
He is also late.
Rat.
She's
Rao. Chef.
Yep.
Smith.
Here.
Yaza.
Here.
All right. Approval of the minutes. I forwarded those out. Are there any amendments to the minutes?
Yeah, I'd like to add my name just a couple of times just for the sake of that.
Any other real amendments? All right, seeing none, the minutes are approved. So, announcements and reports. So, I'm going to go ahead and announce this. So, we're going to move to the first. Oh, this is just agendas. Now we're back. All right. So, if you all can flip to the next page in the packet. You will have the Campus Pub Late Night Programming Report. So, tonight there aren't really any of the actual members on the committee who are here, simply because I'm just presenting the report. There are a number of accompanying resolutions, which we will not be voting on today, but it's simply an FYI so that we can all, you know, so you all can see what we're thinking. We're voting on none of them today. Okay? So as you know, the late night programming was an issue that we started to address at the end of last semester, middle of last semester. We came up with the late night programming report, which this assembly, you know, saw and approved. And as a result of that, we began our discussions with dining. Gail Finan, who is the director of dining, assigned a specific staff person, Brandon Fortenberry. And essentially, we all looked at the feasibility of creating a campus pub in the Ivy Room. And it seemed, and it still seems, like we have, you know, very positive signs from the administration, from dining, from liability office, that we may have a campus pub type rendering in the Ivy Room as soon as the fall semester, next semester. So we came together as a committee, and this was largely in response to our work in the late night programming report. We provided the administration with a rationale for why they should create a late night programming venue for students. And the administration responded in kind. Dining is really excited by the idea. And now, the next step in the process, of course, is to figure out what the programming aspects for a campus pub would be, and who would organize the programming, who would pay for the programming, and how would it be run. So as a committee, we came together. We decided that since there is already a student organization, which is Byline funded, the Student Union Board, they will be the managers of what may become the pub committee of the Student Union Board. And that pub committee will be charged with ensuring that the space is managed properly, that on nights when it's open late, presumably Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, there is always going to be programming for students, and that programming is appropriate. So it's going to be, appeal to a wide range of students, and it'll be diversified. And so in the report, we also specifically outline how the funding processes are going to work. Actually, not specifically, but basic funding commitments from different organizations, and what the funding outlook could look like. And, of course, we also came together with some ideas on what could be put on in the pub from, let's say, Concert Commission or CUPB. These other organizations can, essentially program in the pub. So, as of now, we are in a holding pattern for the administration. We are waiting on dining to completely finalize their business plan. And, of course, once that business plan is finalized by dining, it still has to be approved by Susan Murphy and university administrators. But hopefully, it can happen. And as of now, there are only green lights ahead of us. So, hopefully this can happen by the fall, and the only piece, if it does get approved by, let's say, in the next 2 to 3 weeks, then the only piece which may not be active in the fall would be the alcohol license for the Ivy Room, and that's all dependent on New York State and the alcohol authority or whatever it is. So it would be, presumably it'd be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday night late. But the serving of alcohol would probably be open during regular Ivy Room hours. From 4:30 from 4:35 until closing on regular days, and then Ivy Room would have extended hours on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights would be when the programming would occur. Well, Mohit had his hand up first. So it has been considered, but it's an issue that next year's assembly is going to have to decide, because it's next year's assembly who reanalyzes the activity fee. I know a few organizations, if the pub does come into fruition, does come into existence, which are probably going to be asking for an increase. Student Union Board, for example, will probably be asking for an increase. Class councils may be asking for an increase, but the rest of the organization, CUPB and CCC, I do not think are asking for increases. But yes, it will probably have implications on the student activity fee, but it's an issue for next year's assemblies to decide on whether they want to increase the activity fee or not. And I think that the founding of a pub should be viewed separately at this point from an increase in student activity fee, because next year they could technically rearrange how the student activity fees work to provide programming at the pub without increasing the student activity fee. But that's all up to next year's assembly.
Okay.
O'Neill, and then Lauren.
So, kind of going off the student activity topic, so first of all, the question about who is increasing. I know DCC and DPP both ask for the same amount, so they will be increasing. Nicolette can confirm this when it shows up, but I think we have a call from the student union asked for a wage increase, most of which would be going towards the pub, which is a pretty significant amount of money on a yearly basis. But, you know, that being said, that obviously doesn't cover the operating budget of the pub, so I was just wondering, like, what specifically will students be paying? Like, what is the $35,000 going to be?
And so again, this is largely a discussion for next year's assembly, but from what I'm going to focus on here is what's great about our proposal here in the pub document and from our discussions with dining is that the pub is going to be, I mean, pretty much the business aspect of the pub is going to be run by dining. Dining is going to be serving food, presumably going to be serving beer and wine, and they're going to be staffing the pub. They're going to be cleaning the pub. They're going to be rearranging the tables, whatever needs to be done to run the pub. Dining will be taken care of. And us, as students, are only responsible for the programming piece, which is what we do best. And we are working into our discussions with dining a statement, an agreement between the student assembly and dining, that student organizations would never have to pay to put on programming at the space, and that the space will always be open for student programming during certain hours of the day. And the reason for that is because from my perspective, the largest motivating factor for the administration to bring this to campus is this idea of programming, of providing a late night venue to students. And the alcohol component is simply, it's an issue that needs to be discussed, but is a completely, entirely, is entirely separate. And the reason why we're bringing this pup to campus is for programming, not for alcohol on campus, not for another source, provide alcohol to students. It is for programming for students. No, no, and we're going to be staying far from that discussion. And the foundation of the club. Lauren.
I was just going to say that you probably are going to get programming through like regular organizations as well, because that's one way of drawing students to go to your event. Mm-hmm. You know, you have alcohol there, but like you're not serving it and whatnot. It will be another way that you can reach programming that you don't have to just purely rely on.
And so in the report, it's outlined that Student Union Board Pub Committee would be determining what events that our student organizations can apply to put on programming at the pub, and they would evaluate what is most appropriate for the venue, what would attract the most students, what would appeal to the most students, and then what organization has the largest commitment to actually putting on successful programming. But there is an evaluation process for that. So, Ulysses? Well, do you not think we had any freshmen?
And how many people from the community center?
I think we had a community center member show up once or twice, but they stopped showing up. So the committee was largely revolved around the representatives from CUPB, CCC, Panhell, IFC. See You Tonight at one point showed up for a little while. We had Alana showed up for a few meetings. And who else am I missing? We had FA representatives, of course. And I think that's class councils is a huge part of it. Yeah, I should just look at the cover, shouldn't I? Yeah. Yeah, no, class council of 2014. But speaking on behalf of all the class councils. Student Union Board.
I'm not like the biggest fan of the public, but I mean, it's great that it's going in, and I don't want to sit on the curb. Excuse me, I just I don't want to crack on the purpose or anything like that, but it just seems like a lot of the conversation, like whole university recognition policy, blah, 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 they came out. But a lot of the discussion was, oh, okay, well, what's going to be the alternative for freshmen? The argument I give the policy was freshmen are going to do this, freshmen are going to do that, it's going to be more dangerous for freshmen. But then it doesn't seem like we really addressed it. And I understand there are types of, you're bringing in other types of programming, but like, you didn't like think about, it just doesn't seem like you thought about what freshmen actually want to do, the way they wanted to go. You didn't incorporate like community centers. And the type of programming they do, they're trying to have their own programming to get more people to come to those things. So it's like, I think you should have consulted maybe residential programming. It seems like a great opportunity for a lot of things to happen within the residence halls or around the residence halls, cross programming things that need to go on. Funding, I know it's a block of K submitted to open. Leonardo submitted that one resolution about like creating, making more community and doing more stuff for the freshmen. Funneling money for the hall campus is just not people. But it's like that doesn't, none of that is coming to pass like in this. And I understand maybe freshmen want, they want to feel like they can go somewhere and they can go to central campus and get this stuff done. But this almost feels like just like for the sake of having alcohol somewhere and not totally for the sake of. Even though I know that's what it says, and I'm not crapping on the purpose, but I'm still wondering.
But I think you—that's exactly what you're doing. You're crapping on the purpose. And to be completely fair, the committee worked extremely hard to come up with a setting and with a a report that would address all areas of campus. One of the main proponents of this space is that it's open to under and over 21-year-olds,
right.
And that we'd bring the entire Cornell community together in one venue. That was the purpose of our committee. We weren't necessarily looking to put on programming for freshmen or for seniors or for juniors or for sophomores. We were looking to put on a type of programming which doesn't necessarily exist on campus, which is to appeal to every single age group and category on campus. And I would challenge you on the fact that this venue doesn't appeal to freshmen. Yeah, but it, so it does appeal to freshmen. Okay. All right. Yeah.
I have two questions. One is, will there, a lot of groups have issues with venues because there are charges, like especially certain venues, there are large charges for putting on events in these spaces. So what were those, with the cost structure of putting on any event in the area because there's alcohol and
free.
Okay, so and what about, so a lot of groups, if it's an event of a certain size, will it raise the entire police officers?
No, it'll all be taken care of by dining.
Okay, and then the second question is, what if a group like an MGLC chapter wants to put on a dry event? Can they shut down the alcoholic portion of the IG group that night?
So, that comes in the use of space agreement. Probably not if it's a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night. The venue will be open. It still has to be hashed out again, but dining has said that there would be an option to open up the venues on nights that there isn't the usual programming which occurs. So let's say on a Wednesday night, the pub isn't open, but if an organization would like to rent out the pub for a fee, of course, through dining, then they could do that. But the programming aspect on Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights must be open to all members of the Cornell community. And there's also a financial aspect from dining's perspective where they need to recoup some of the costs because they do have to run it like a business.
And then I had a quick third question for O'Neill.
Is Lloyd Street Union, are they going to be acting more as a programming board or a funding board? Like, are they funding other people to come in and grow events, or are they
programming? Programming for nights that there aren't outside organizations programming. Yeah. So I'm going to take two more questions on this, and then we're going to move on because we'll be talking about this again probably at the last essay meeting. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty so far very happy with what I've seen. My question is, going forward, this is a good first step, but it should not only be the first step. And so I guess, what did the committee for the next year or next year that I'm going to do and was that discussed? Because I don't think one club is going to entertain all students on it, you know, especially Friday and Saturday night. So we need to, I guess, as a group, figure out what we're going to take for us moving forward.
And, you know, I think that it's a good project for next year's essay, but at this point, it's a pretty monumental achievement, I'd say, but I completely agree that more needs to be done, but that's going to be left up to next year's essay at this point. And last one, Steven?
Has there any conversation about who's regulating who will actually be putting on programs? Is that something with Illustrated?
Student Union Board, yeah. Illustrated Hall Student Union Board will be the managers of the pub. Of course, yeah.
And are Greek organizations
working with them? Yeah, it just simply needs to go through the application process that will be outlined by the Student Union Board. And the Student Union Board is open for membership to all members of the Cornell community. All right, moving on. Business of the day, Resolution 84, SAC Commissioner's approval.
Who's Charlie?
Is Charlie here? He is not.
Okay, can I?
Do you want to hear something else?
I just got
it. Can this be like amended then to put me as a sponsor up here? I don't know if it's a big deal.
Or do you just want to move to... The thing is that he kind of needs to be in the room to present it in the first place.
Yeah.
So can we move to the SAFC Internal Operations Improvement Initiative? Any objections to that? Resolution 78? All right. All right. You guys are up. Adam Gitlin. And Kristen.
Can I get on the seat this time?
Kristen Jenkins, Adam Gitlin. Yep. You guys are up. So we are voting. Yes, stay where you are. But you all have, you know, your usual 4 minutes to present.
Technically, yeah. We never actually hear that. Like, I've been on a computer for years. You go, like, the office asks you if you
ever do. Is it free? Yeah.
So this is, so I connected this, 2 weeks ago, to improve the already relationship between the essay and the essay. But also on a practical level, a lot of members of the essay expressed, you know, during that.
That would be, you know, I guess where I would fall, something would be to the charter.
All right. So we are voting on this today. First person on the speaker's list is EVP Menso.
Okay. You know, this is a good idea. You know, I did bring up some concerns with it last time around. You know, I guess, you know, my, you know, apart from everything else that I said, you know, my big concerns came over the talk of adding on a penalty if SM members did not come out to it. And that's what I was very much opposed to, even though I won't be on the SA, you know, if and when this comes into being. And, you know, just apart from that, you know, I questioned the necessity of this apart from the relation standpoint, being that, you know, when we talk about SAFC issues, we have commissioners, we have the coaches come to the meeting, and they're there to help guide us through anything. Also, you know, when we have issues with the SA, the parliamentarian is here. And, you know, I did bring up last time that up until last year, there was a requirement that SA members, before they could take part in SA business, had to pass a charter test. And that requirement, the SA last year felt that it was unnecessary. You know, that said, you know, this as is, you know, I guess I don't have as much of a problem with it, the spirit of it and everything else, but, you know, it's when you try to add a penalty to it that I have more of a problem with it, but, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be a penalty, but if I were VP of the IOPS next year, I'd probably make the session a regular attendance meeting, so that if you didn't show up, you'd get marked down, and that's it.
All right, Representative Desai.
Yeah, I think this is a really great idea. You know, like, although we're coming up with some better place right now, like, especially some of the meetings of the province, and helping the NKSB, like, I think this is absolutely necessary. The one thing that I would urge the VP IOPS to look at next year, though, is, I guess, like, our timing of this, because if we were to do this, like, when new members get oriented to the SA, we wouldn't include freshmen. I know that that's like I remember my first year on the assembly when we did SAFC guidelines and Vincent and Basil got into this like huge heated argument, and I just had no idea what was going on. And I think that, you know, to an extent, like, you know, you replace Chris Basil without any ability, but the same thing happened this year. And a lot of people just, you know, don't understand the importance of the SAFC, and I think it's very vital.
This has been a call. Can I ask you to draw, because we have four more people on the speaker's list? All right.
I mean, my question is, if we were to implement this and we have an issue with punishment, would it be possible to include that in the statute where we would spend that funding next year if you guys have
a
question?
It's been a call to question.
And who has been stricken? Yes.
Second.
And there's a second. So there is a call to question and a second, and there has been a call for acclamation, but it's bylaws. It's bylaws. So I'm going to ask that we do a roll call vote. This year is 2/3 of present. Right? Or is it majority? 2/3 of present? 2/3 of present. And we are voting with the friendly amendment that we are going to strike the word new at the beginning there. And that's it. We are only striking the word new. And will the clerk please call the roll?
Agar?
Yes.
Bajaj?
Yes.
Brockman?
Yes.
Gander?
Yes.
Kasai?
Yes.
Defane come in?
No.
Finn?
Yes.
Gitlin?
Yes.
Golrajani?
Yes.
Kerr?
Yes.
Mensa?
Yes.
Moon? Nicoletti?
Not here.
Cruz?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Yazek?
Yes.
15-0-0.
I vote a 15-0-0. Resolution 78 passes. So, yeah, we'll just, Ray Metz is just going to sponsor them. So we'll go to SAFC Commissioner Approval, Resolution 84. Please, is there any dissent to Ray Metz being added as a sponsor? Seeing none, will the record please reflect that Ray Metz has been added to as a sponsor. So we are now moving on to Resolution 84.
All right, so basically this resolution is something similar to this. Every semester we have recruitment, we recruited 12 new commissioners, their names are in the resolution, and then since I'm leaving and my term's up, we had an election for co-chair, and Larry Kogos got elected. Because he got elected, he had to fill his position on the e-board, which was VP of External Operations, and Maddie Gruber was elected for that position. And then Rob Poole decided that he was going to step down and no longer serve on the e-board, so he needed to fill his position. So Dan Pearson got elected VPPR. Steve Gill is a VPPR position, the VP External. That they're going to finish out the term, so they'll be done in December, and then we'll re-elect you board in December. And I have the breakdown of like staff and the 12 kids that we took. We've got a variety of people from different colleges. I can tell that to you guys if you really want it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
You get their full bio.
I think there is a really good representation. I think.
Okay, so we have.
We do have to represent.
Okay, so we didn't have people fill out extensive. My computer just died, so I think.
All right, so while you pull that up, we'll move to questions. Does that work? Where can I ask?
Okay, so we have six guys and six girls, which is good because we're lacking females on the commission. We have seven freshmen and five sophomores. We have four A majors, two hotels, two ILR, two arts, one humac, and one engineer.
Engineer?
I don't know.
All right. Lauren, where's Larry?
He has a conflict, but he's on the
call. Okay. All right, thanks.
So, are there any questions?
Yes, there are. First is Representative Proust.
I was wondering if you had some diversity of this organization. How many are in the sales team?
I think it looks like three. Okay. So it's like a quarter.
Does that apply to the e-board also?
The e-board is going to have three DSP members.
No, I did not plan this.
Wow, that's a new member.
Wait, can I hear it? I missed that last one.
What?
What's the new one?
Maddie is not in DSP and neither is Kristen. Yeah. So we're going to have two two non-DSP people on the e-board.
Out of?
Whoa!
Out of five.
What a number.
So we're keeping the stats the same.
Is that including the co-chairs?
Those of the co-chairs are number two.
And that is the conflict for tonight. That we want to Representative Danter.
So you accepted 12 new members, and that was out of how many applicants?
We had close to 100.
So you guys are like more selective than for now.
Yep.
All right. I'll call the question.
Call the question and a second. Is there any dissent?
Can we claim on this one?
Are we laughing?
We can acclaim.
Call
for acclamation in a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, Resolution 84 is passed by acclamation. Moving on to Resolution 73, finally! Yeah, how long has it been on the agenda?
Like, me five.
All right, Resolution 73. This has been on the agenda for about, what, four meetings now? But this is the first time we're actually even speaking about it, so... Yep, you all have 4 minutes, all three of you, Kevin, Lauren, and Roniel. So this is your resolution.
You guys take a look at Resolution 73. Basically, this was in response to the fact that there was a lot of conflict over SAFC appeals this year, and groups thought that there were things in the guidelines that confused them, and there was dissent during the SA meetings over what was going on. This was actually submitted the week after SAFC appeals. We just haven't had time to get to them. It was trying to make it seem like the SA was like fastly reacting to issues that affected students, and we're actually changing them. That didn't really happen. So, like, really quickly going through the changes, and I guess Kevin or Lauren, if you want to comment on any of them, go for feel free to. So first one, eligibility expenses. There was, this is actually your changes coming over to the employer report thing.
So basically, there was originally in the guidelines it said in like a paragraph format that you needed to submit an inventory report form, but a lot of students read through the guidelines and just like a bullet point, so now it's a little bit more explicit that you need to file an inventory report form, because oftentimes students forgot this in their application, and that's why they appeal or they didn't know something.
Right. And like to clarify, this doesn't actually change anything in the application process, just making it clear. The second change. So this was the Matt Danzer / Encore Bajaj clause, where they basically thought that before it said that you have to turn in dates and location, and then there was a proof of travel event documentation, which... Alright, so anyway, all this basically says is that you can't just write the date and the location on the application. You actually need documentation confirming those things, which is what the guidelines that originally intended. But we realized that it could have been interpreted differently if you were a group, as you guys agreed to during SAFC appeals, so we just addressed that. The next change is making it so that it's easier for groups to get money. So basically our old kind of hitch or catch in the system was that if you applied for funding and didn't get, and you like screwed up in your application, that you got administrative expenses, which you don't have to turn in any documentation for. You could then apply for funding in one additional category. AFCOM had contention over whether or not like getting zero funding still allowed you to do that. Like if you only applied for a local event and then didn't get a local event funding, could you still apply for single category? So this just clarifies that. Originally, me and Charlie had intended like other than administrative would include zero, but that wasn't clear, so we just threw that in. There was an issue over a group turning in a receipt for airfare. They were turning in a receipt for an airplane ticket. Said they didn't need to turn in a Google map because the mileage wasn't, what did they say? The mileage didn't actually calculate into their funding because it was a ticket. But the whole reason that we still want the Google map is we want, like, the SAFC wants to be able to check if it's, like, economical to fly versus, like, taking the car. Because we don't want people, like, buying plane tickets to New York City and turning in, you know, saying that we turned a Google map or whatever. Yeah, just making it more clear on that end. The last one is this issue came up with Model UN, who wanted to go to an event in, I think, Quebec. And this is something that the SAFC debated for a little bit, basically just saying that, you know, if we're going to pay for a plane ticket to go from New York to California, we should allow people to drive from here to Quebec for something that's a much shorter distance. And the reason for this was when this clause was originally put into the SAFC guidelines, the rationale behind it was we were looking to cut international funding as far as, like, people flying from Cornell to London or Cornell to Africa or something like that, because those are very high costs for a very low number of students. But this is, like, driving to somewhere close by in Canada doesn't apply to that. So that was, you know, kind of the rationale by throwing in that little disclaimer. And the very last one, this is another one of Matt Danzer's clauses. So before, he had said that even though an item would not be stored in an on-campus facility, it could be, but that didn't prevent it from getting funding. So just clarifying what the intention of the SAFC is that they want items to be stored on campus. And then finally, the video game hardware, software, games was unclear before as to whether or not that included all software or just video game software. Thank you, Matt Danzer. So we clarified that as well.
Good question.
Pretty much it.
But other games, does the SAFC fund
Scrabble
stuff. Yeah, it's durable, good, and it can be stored on campus.
Can we strike and other games?
What is that other games refer to?
What would it refer to?
Huh? Other electronic games?
You wrote it, I'm not sure.
It was in there before, so I just threw it the other week and strike. That's like fine.
Okay, guys, you have to get on the speakers list if you'd like to make an amendment, so Matt Danzer, I'll add your name to the speaker's list. You are not on the speaker, you have not been recognized yet. You are on the speaker's list, but you have to wait your turn to be recognized. You also want to get on. But not your turn yet. We still have presentations by the speaker.
Kevin, do you have any
so on? Kevin and Lauren, anything else?
No, I think this was great. I think this was the first time the appropriation committee got involved with this process. It's usually done just by the SAFC.
All right, I'll take the first stab question. So you all didn't decide to look at the issue with, like, the books for the SAT prep books or the condoms or anything like that. You all did not choose to address that.
I mean, condoms have always been an issue every single year.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you didn't choose. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you all didn't, you chose not to talk about
it.
Okay. All right. That's just my question.
You guys did address the, remember you had the book discussion at your one meeting? Isn't that like the Jewish thing? The group that asked for like the large number of copies for the single book? Was it a Ross event?
I don't remember what came out of that.
All right. Okay. So, first on the speakers list after me is Representative Cruz.
That's what I wanted to go over with the discussion.
You're on it.
Fairplace for Hillel, the shuttlecocks, I think tennis balls.
Yeah, tennis balls.
So, is it just a choice by the SAC voters and the that you should address the president and the staff comments inside based on that precedent?
So, I don't want to speak for the co-chairs here, but the SA has some perspective on this. And my opinion is that it's very dangerous to have a running list of exceptions in the SAC guidelines saying, like, the following organizations or requests will be exempt from, you know, our rule. I think the way to go about that is from the parliamentarian perspective, and that if the SA's job to reform our charter in a way that our appeals process through ASCOM into the SA, which could lead them to five, allows us to make that kind of a statement on a year-to-year basis in a much more efficient way.
So, like, you said it makes sense a lot to actually address those issues in the guidelines because we have one of those.
I don't think it should be addressed in the FAC guidelines. I think, like, the exception power for precedent should be given to AFSCOM. Like, we should be able to make that statement without a hearing. Like, I think that's the change that needs to be made in the FAC charter.
All right. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Gulrajani. All right. Representative Bajaj.
So I'll make this agenda amendment at the same time because I have the same question. In addition to that, the link to Charlie.
I'm going by the list.
And about the issue of software, what about clubs that, like, their function requires software that isn't already on campus? Under this, that would be not allowed to be funded, correct?
Right. I mean, it wouldn't, but they can make an argument that it's like vital to the purpose of their organization, just like that. They keep their vital to the purpose of their organization, and then AFSCOM could override it.
Okay, well, I guess my question is that, do you think the situation, I think the situation is different than the SEC Book situation, because I think other clubs may require software that is vital to their purpose, and it shouldn't be put in this category, because I don't see the word software being in this category being a good thing.
So my idea here is the chair and so something to point out is that a lot of the issues that we saw over software were groups that are centered around that, which is primarily Slow Media, Slow TV, and Slow Radio. Those three groups have come together and are applying for guideline funding next year. And I know part of their intent is to be able to share that software with other students on campus. So we're hoping that's going to alleviate a lot of it. I think it's dangerous to take out software completely, because then we're going to have, you know, every other group saying we use Microsoft Word. That's software. Can we, like, you know, get the newest edition on our personal computer?
Well, I mean, I guess that would be one that duplicates functionality on campus, correct? And then it wouldn't be eligible on campus. Right. So, I mean, I think for software that isn't on campus that the group needs, like, I think these rules would be a little bit funny on that front. For software, and I think Charlie agrees with that. I didn't even get to talk to you guys, but
Availability, you mentioned that you're in the is available on campus, a lot of and secondly, I think it's just there's like so many updates, like technology, like moving so quickly, and that's, you know, one of the reasons why hardware, for example, isn't a lot either. Like, users can request new software every year when the same software is just as functional the year before, and that's kind of dangerous, and we don't want to, you know, misspend.
I think, like, an example of that is the fact that they applied for, like, plugins to software that they already had this year.
Right.
And, like, money like that can, like, compound very quickly.
Okay, I'll move to amend and to remove the last two words, and a comma. The last two words.
Like that.
So we are crossing out and other games, and that's it.
And before video games.
All right.
Can I call the question on the amendment, or can I just have it done?
We're going to go. So there's been called a question on the amendment. Is there any dissent on that amendment? We're going to go to voice vote. If you're all in favor of the amendment, please say yes.
Yes.
If you're against, please say no. Amendment passes. All right. Going back to the speakers list. Representative Danzer.
Call the question.
All right. There's been called a question and a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will go to a voice vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those in favor, please say nay. The ayes have it, and Resolution 73 is passed.
Yes,
I'm
letting you know the good
time.
Motion to adjourn. Are we? No, we have to discuss all these other bills.
Okay, so.
Wait, so tonight, are we doing 78 next Tuesday? And I want to say I'm on the table.
78.
We already did 78.
I'm sorry.
All right, guys. So, I would like, so, I'm going to make a motion here. It's 8:01. I mean, we can, I just want to present resolutions 81, 82, 83 really quickly. See you guys. Okay. So we are. So I am going to relieve my position as chair, and just for now, and make a motion to adjourn at 8:10. At 8:10, because I don't want to speak too extensively about resolutions 81 to 83. I just wanted to make you all aware of them, and we'll be debating them when the pub is more secure. But at this point, it's all semantics. So, you can take a box of pizza with you. How about that? So, anyway, is there a second? Is there any dissent? Well, she used to say.
Is there any dissent? No, so all right, we'll adjourn at 8:10.
All right.
And so, can you please, you know, I guess, talk about the three resolutions. You don't have to go in order. You know, you can talk about them all at once.
All right. So, and also, I guess that also includes Resolution 80. I don't want to vote on that yet either because I just wanted to make you all aware of it, and then we can, when we have all the committee people and all that stuff sitting in the room, we can have more extensive discussion about it all. But, so Resolution 80 is simply presenting the report to you all, which we can approve or disapprove. That's all up to you. I hope you all approve it. Resolution 81 is the changes to the Student Union Board Charter. They're outlined briefly in the report that was attached. However, I have the specific wording, which I will put up on a slide, like a slideshow or whatever, on the PowerPoint projector when we represent these resolutions so we don't waste paper. I'll also reproduce the report when we vote on Resolution 80 so we don't waste more paper. But it's pretty standard, you know, pub committee chair, all that stuff. And they actually took the opportunity to completely redo their charter. So that is forthcoming. Resolution 82. This is one of the hefty ones. These changes were largely made entirely by the organizations. They request, and they, you know, the what's in italics, I'll amend the document so that it specifically says, what's in italics is what we are proposing to add. What is not in italics is currently in Appendix B. So you'll see that class councils, that's the only one that's still under discussion, class councils, but potentially allocating 25 cents of their student activity fee in whatever way they want to do it to programming in the pub. Concert commission, one event per semester, and they will increase its co-sponsorship cap for $600 for events held in the pub, which is, again, to incentivize outside organizations, like Lauren was saying, to put on programming in the pub. CUPB has chosen to allocate $1,500 or $3,000, so $1,500 per semester or $3,000 per year, and should strive to put on at least two events in the pub per semester. So that can be a stand-up comedian, That can be, you know, whatever CUPB would like, think would be cool, a puppet show, though I don't know how appealing that would be to students, but, you know, whatever, whoever CUPB wants to bring to campus, it'll be left up to their discretion. Student Union Board, of course, is the organization that will be running the show. They already receive a byline funding allocation, and after looking at their budget, they thought that allocating $3,000, towards programming in the pub would be appropriate for them. And what's nice is that in their budget, they saw a lot of events that they put on elsewhere, like in the Memorial Room or whatnot. For example, like the Super Bowl bash, they could simply move to the pub. So it's not, they're not cutting out events or whatnot that they already put on. They're simply enhancing their, those events and their programming dollars by putting it on at the pub venue. Moving on to Resolution 83, which is the probably more contentious one. So the one whereas clause, the essay is projected to roll over $20,000. That was off of the budget report that Nicoletti, VP Finance Nicoletti, presented a few meetings ago. At this point, if you include the $10,800 that we loaned to the SAFC, we are projected to roll over about $16,000, not $20,000. And so what we'd be doing is, instead of simply reimbursing ourselves with that loan that we made to the SAFC, we would be putting that money to use next year for programming at the space. Why is it needed? The reason why it's needed is because if you actually look at the entirety of the report, Student Union Board, which is in charge of putting on programming for an entire semester, an entire year's worth of time at the pub, in actual cash on hand, they only have $3,000. Everything else listed are commitments from other organizations to put on programming at the pub, but throughout the semester and throughout the year, we know that there are going to be days that Student Union Board won't have other organizations willing to put on programming during that day. And so they need funding to fill in the gaps when there aren't other organizations to put on that programming. And if you divide, you know, I don't have the exact number of days, again, because I'm just presenting this to you all as my initial thoughts. But if you take 3 days per week, multiply that by the number of days there are in the academic calendar, by the number of weekends, you know, there are in the academic calendar, that's a lot of weekends. I'll get that specific number out to you, but it's a decent amount, and it comes out to, you know, a few hundred dollars a night for programming, which isn't that much money in the grand scheme of things. And of course, the success of the pub is going to depend entirely on the success of the programming, because at the end of the day, if the pub is not a viable business as well as attractive to students, then the pub is going to be forced to shut down, because dining cannot absorb a financial loss on the creation of the pub. It's that simple. They have agreed to pay for a stage, to pay for building a bar, to pay for putting up sound equipment, in the Ivy Room. And so they're going to be incurring, I don't have the exact number, but I think they said close to $100,000 worth of expenses to renovate the space. And they need to recoup those costs and, of course, pay for the extra staff and all that stuff that they're putting during to manage the alcohol and to manage the space. So instead of simply taking that money and putting it back into our slush fund, we'd actually be giving it and putting it to work for student programming, which we do during the byline funding process, but it's not a byline funding year. So that's my spiel.
Thank you.
Anyway, 1 minute for questions.
The time is 8:10. The SA meeting is adjourned. And we're going to, I'm going to put this on the agenda for Thursday. I don't know if we're going to get to it, but, you know, we are going to get to it before the end of the year. And, we'll be on the agenda, yeah, for Thursday, yeah.
And again, I know we're in adjournment, but...
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.